Welcome, welcome once again. This is Tea Time with Tell, and I'm Tell.
And I'm Tea Time. Let's get weird.
Let's not. And today, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, or whoever the fuck is listening to this. Oh, I shouldn't have said that, my bad. But, anyways, we have a special guest, KBZ. Say what's up to the audience.
Hey, everybody.
That was just so simple.
That was so simple.
So weak. Simple. I mean, if you're going to say hi, I mean, just nonchalant hi. Hey, everybody. I mean, sure, that passes, but I mean, we're trying to make this somewhat hype, so can you do just a tad bit better than that? Just a tad bit.
Can we just get weird?
No. No, let's not get weird, but let's get hype. Let me hear some hype in your voice, KBZ. KBZ, a little hype in your voice. No, she being shy today. That's all she got because she being shy. That's okay. So today, we are going to just take on some random topics. First, dealing with when is enough is enough. And what we mean by when we say that when is enough is... like, when you're totally satisfied in any way, shape, or form, don't get this twisted, but not everybody, I don't think anyone can be totally satisfied. I mean, even a billionaire can be, like, miserable, right, guys?
Yeah, like, definitely. Money really isn't even enough. What do you think, KBZ?
I think that you can just, like, keep chasing and chasing, but even, like, even if you're chasing money, in the end, that could be not really what you're wanting.
I mean, we all like money, and that will come into when is enough is enough. Since we're already talking about money, but, I mean... I think when it comes to money, I don't think there is enough money.
Why?
Really? Because if we all could have whatever we wanted, like, our bank account is unlimited, like, we own this shit, right? And if we could have anything we wanted, I don't think there would be a, like... an extent to what we could want as a human being. You get what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, like, I feel like money is kind of like revenge. Like, once you get that, there's nothing after. So, like, you're, like, chasing after something, and once you reach it, what else do you have left after that? Like, what else is your goal? Because you've already reached it. So, like, if you're, like, only in church for money, like, once you start getting that money, what else do you have in your life to, like, start going for?
I think that's a really good point, and I think that's why you should never make money your goal to begin with. I think that you shouldn't chase money, and you shouldn't want money, because if you just go after your dreams being something other than money... eventually that'll fall into place, regardless as if it's a career or having a family or whatever the case may be. If you focus on something other than money, it'll all just fall into place, and then you'll get more money than you ever dreamed of having to begin with. You'll get more money without chasing it.
I get what y'all saying. I really do. But in the same aspect, how can you say this to... a child that has never had anything, you know? They don't even know where their next meal is coming from. So how can you fix your mouth to say that, what you just said?
Well, me, myself, come from a single mom of four girls. We grew up not having much, living with my grandparents off and on, seeing my mom struggle, and then having kids myself young and having to struggle and work constantly to make ends meet. It's just something you have to keep in mind, that there are moments that money couldn't give you. Those great times you have with your friends, or those amazing moments with your family, money didn't give you those. It was those people, it was those individuals, those places you were at, and it could literally be anywhere in the world at any point in time, and money could totally not be involved, and you'd still have those memories, and I think that's way more than any money could ever give you.
Well, like, I feel like money isn't really, like, a goal, as it is a backup, because when you do have kids, like, your main focus is supporting your kids, but that backup to supporting your kids is money. So somehow money starts becoming a side goal, and then it kind of starts becoming a main priority, where money is everything, and if you have money, it doesn't matter if you have kids or not, it kind of takes over, and then next thing you know, you're running a bunch of hotels and towers, and next thing you know, you're president.
Well, we're not.
And I feel about. Like that's where it becomes quite enough.
let's
not get onto that subject. We're still talking about money here. And okay, so I'm also a product of a single parent, which was my mother, all hell, Helen Ann Harris. I mean, I worship the ground that my mother walks on, because she is the epiphany of what, in some cases, what is a good mother, in the sense of, well, always in the sense of money handling, and in the way to use money, because we never went hungry. No, everything that she may have made us, I mean, I don't want to eat chicken and rice every day, you feel what I'm saying? But at least we didn't go hungry. She made sure that there was something on the table for us to eat. And that is the one thing that I'm grateful for as when it comes to the money aspect, that I never had that worry of not having to worry about food or a roof over my head, or, you know, the essential things that you need to live. No, we may not have had everything that we wanted, but we had everything that we needed. So, for sure, money is definitely a double-edged sword. Either you use it correctly and it works out fine for you, you can cut down many enemies with it, or you'll wind up cutting yourself because you mishandled it. Which, in my case, that is my case. But that's just my dealings with the money, because I'm kind of an unorganized person, kind of. And when it comes to money, I'm not really a good person with money. I used to be when I had a lot of it. And when you have a lot of money, and I think this is the main difference from having a lot of money and not having a lot of money, is that when you constantly have that backup and you don't have to worry about anything. Well, I still have, you know, $700 or $800 in my bank account, whatever, you know.
Money is definitely a huge stress reliever in itself.
Well, I feel like money itself is in like a gray zone, because it falls in both categories of a necessity and a want. Because everybody wants money, but at the same time, you need money to survive. And actually, like, get through, like, this economy and this life.
So, I guess we're all in our agreeance that there is never too much money, and there... But that's only because we are who we are. We're not, like, the kids of Bill Gates or the Waltons. You know what I'm saying? So, we can't really say that, you know, when is enough... money is enough money, because more than likely we won't reach that potential.
And that's why,
like, out of the three of us, one of our kids will reach that potential where money is enough money. And that's only saying, in general aspects, each family have at least two or three kids. So there's six kids, and one out of those six kids, it doesn't matter which one of our kids it is, one of those six kids will be very successful and not ever have to worry about money.
Well, I think that's why I'm saying I feel like if none of us chased money, we could all potentially get to an area where we didn't care about money. When people decide not to go to college, it's mainly for the reason of money. And if you didn't put that into aspect, how many more people would go to college and would have a career? And if they didn't focus on their loans and all of the debt that they were going into, they would just focus on the money that they had at that moment, and they would strive. And so many more of us would do that in our daily lives, and we would just, in general, have more money because we weren't worrying about what was holding us back in the future, but more of what was happening now.
But this isn't the, like, medieval times, yeah. Or the 60s, where if you were, like, a king, you didn't have to worry about money, and if you were a peasant, like, all you had to worry about was, like, not money, but, like, feeding your kids. And, like, in the 60s, it was just about living life. And right now, we're kind of caught into, like, the intertwine of, like, those eras. Like, not really, but, like, physiologically, our mindset is where, like, we, like, need money and we want money, but at the same time, we're just trying to live life.
I would have to agree and disagree with both of you, because coming from, I mean, I don't know about y'all's childhood, but we rarely had money, like, ever. And
that was my childhood.
And I'm okay, so we're all coming from a household that didn't have a lot of money. How would we be, though, if we were sitting here right now, if our families so happened to have the sharper end of the stick and they had money? Oh. How would we look at money then? Let's just say that money wasn't an option. We have everything that we could possibly want. How would we look at money then?
Well, like, honestly, I feel like we wouldn't be striving just to get, like, a $10 case of Rolling Rock and Newport cigarettes. We'd be, like, saying hi with, like, high-class scotch or whiskey and fancy-ass cigars. All dressed
but
up.
But in general, it would shape us to be different people, yeah, hang like with a different crowd. Mindset would be different. Everything would be different. So we do have to share, and that's why I say, don't go for money. Do not set money as your goal.
Because not all the time money is a good thing. Like, when you always have money, you never worry about having money, and then the next moment, it could be gone.
The darkest moment is before the dawn. So, and your dark moments are what shape you as a person, so be broke and face that struggle, and when money comes, you're going to cherish it way more, and you're not going to be one of those people who spends their money stupidly because you know what it's like to have that struggle.
There's always hills before there's a pasture.
So now we come back to the original question, and we'll each go around and answer it. When is enough enough? Money.
I feel like money, like, barely isn't, like enough. Because, like, if you're a CEO of a business and, like, you're living on a salary of, like, $125,000 a month, like, I feel like that's quite enough. But, like, if you're just, like, striving on, like, a $10 an hour, like, wage, working, like, a 40-hour week, I feel like that just doesn't really cut it. Especially in this economy.
Alright, so, when is enough?
I think enough is enough to where I don't have to worry about everyday means, like paying my bills, paying my rent, getting food into my system every day. I think, and not having to worry about an education for me or my children, not that I have any, because I don't. But I think that's when money is enough money. When you don't have to sincerely worry about. And when I say sincerely, living to paycheck to paycheck. I think when you're not living paycheck to paycheck, that's when money is enough money. And I think that's a very simple way to envision life, I think. I mean, I don't know about y'all, but
I definitely agree with that.
As long as all of my bills are paid, as long as my kids and me are eating good, if I ever had kids, in which right now I don't, so all I have to do is worry about me, like
Calvin.
Wait, as long as
and of course my cat day. Calvin, my cat Calvin. Other than that, you know, as long as both of us are eating good, you know, it's all gravy.
Yeah.
But am I eating good? Is all my bills paid? That's yet to be said.
All right. Well, now that we've gotten to that point, since you brought up kids, I know you don't have any at the moment, but I know I have two, as you, yes. Obviously.
Obviously. Well, our audience does not know.
Let's just say both of y'all have two kids, both of you.
Well, I'm just saying our audience does not know that we both have two kids.
So,
we do.
We'll get into the subject of parenting. When is enough enough?
For parenting? I mean, I don't have a lot of experience with parenting. I was the cool uncle that they could beat up on and play with and, you know, just have a good time with. And that's what I've grown accustomed to. That's what I like. That's what I love about my life. Like, I love kids. I love the fact that I can feed into this younger generation that doesn't know anything, that doesn't know sand from water, and it's a great thing. They just look at me as this person of, like, awesomeness. And, like, I like being that person. I like being Uncle Martell, the cool guy. The guy that you can pick on with, you know, box with a little bit. You know what I'm saying? You know, I give you candy, fill you up, take you back to your mom and dad's, and then, you know, that's the end. You know what I'm saying? I can go home to an empty and quiet house, and that's legit for me. I love all my nephews and nieces. I really do. But I do love that y'all are just my nephews and nieces.
I think we can go into this topic looking at it many different ways, in the shape of us having our own children, present, future, and even as past, looking at how our parents reacted with us as children. So even to show some alignment on, like, your mom and stuff.
Okay.
I mean,
I think it's really crazy how much kids get away with nowadays. But maybe it's because I had a single mom, things was a lot different, and she just wasn't playing. But at the same time, like, when we were told to go to bed, we were in bed. We did not move. And if we did, the wrath of God would reap upon us. And it was not a good thing. So I just stayed in bed.
Right. Well, like, my parents, right, I come from a split home. So I spent every other week with my mom and my dad. But with, like, my dad, he was pretty lenient. And, like, I guess so was my mom in, like, some occasions. Like, my mom would just let us kind of, like, roam around after a certain age by ourselves. Where, like, our dad, like, didn't, but our dad would, like, abide to more of our choices than my mom would, I guess. Like, they're kind of, like, alter egos in a sense of parenting. But, like, my dad stayed single after my mom. And my mom kind of just, like, hopped around guy after guy. So, but I didn't really have a stable home because my dad was always working. By the time I got home from school, it was pretty much us cooking our own dinner until he got home. By the time he got home, we were pretty much going to bed. And then my mom was pretty much just out with other guys. So, it was pretty much just us fending for ourselves. We kind of grew up at a young age and matured pretty fast. So, I don't know. Like, I feel like if you're there for your kids, like, that's good. Like, enough. But, like, if you aren't going to be there for your kids and, like, listen to their problems and, like, actually know what's going on in their lives, then, like, what was the point of actually having kids?
Okay, so, with that being said, though, like, you can't say that our parents didn't go through, to a sort of degree, everything that we went through as kids, even as teenagers, because they did. They went through that same stuff. So then I think it's all a misconception and misunderstanding and a miscommunication, mostly between parents and their children, is is what conflicts the relationship.
Well, I feel like if they went through that same stuff, like, not, like, the same stuff, but, like, they went through, like, high school and, like, those years, and, like, they saw that we were struggling, then, like, why don't they, like, put themselves out as parents to tell us, like, try to advise us how to get through it? Because, like, maybe, like, they went through, like, that same rough patch.
So, I'm gonna have to say a couple points that I kind of feel fit into this, into where I kind of am wondering where the answer to when is enough enough lies when it comes to parenting. And, so me myself had parents who divorced literally after I was born, pretty much in their marriage. And my dad chose another family, and my mom was trying to make ends meet, living with grandparents. Because of this, like, we didn't have money to do anything ever. And my mom was a super lenient parent. Everybody growing up told me I had the cool mom. But I kind of think, like, when should a parent step in and say that, like, they need to be there and they need to put their foot down and be strict? And when do they need to be there and let their kid have a little bit of freedom and do what they need to do so that they can make mistakes and learn on their own? Where is that line? Where do parents put that boundary? I'm gonna give you space, or no, I'm not gonna give you space, and I'm gonna be up your ass all the time because I'm your parent and that's what I do.
I mean, when it comes to that, I think bottom line, when it comes to life endangerment, and that includes drinking, drugs, marijuana to a certain degree. I mean, me personally, even being a future psychologist, I see nothing wrong with anybody smoking weed. I think everyone should smoke weed. Like, everybody. I think they should find that one strand that works for them and smoke it. All the time. Every single day.
Yeah, for sure.
Because, like, it puts you on that personal level, and especially with me, it puts me on that personal level of...
Well, before we get too much in that, let's get back on topic. Oh, to Steph Back Martell, parenting.
Well, parenting. Back to that. When it comes to drinking dangerous drugs, and some aspects of life when dealing with the same or opposite sex, you should definitely confide in your parents in all of this, because they can tell you, well, son, I think that's a stupid idea, you just going out in the middle of nowhere with all of these kids, you know? And all of y'all gonna be drinking and having a good time? Well, I don't think that's a good decision. And if you do, don't drink too much. Be responsible. Explain to them, show them the horrors of getting drunk and driving. Show them the horrors of having to go to jail because somebody in your car has some meth or some cocaine or whatever on their person, because all y'all are going to jail.
Right.
It doesn't matter. All y'all going to jail.
Like, I never, like, really had that problem, because, like, once I, like, reached high school, like, my dad pretty much told me, like, you're going to do what you do, just don't get caught. So, like, that put, like, a mindset in me to just pretty much, like, be smart about what I do. So, like, I wasn't really too worried about, like, getting caught or, like, the, like, horrors of, like, drinking and driving or, like, overdosing on a drug or, like, getting too fucked up on a drug. It was more of, like, the fact that I went through some shit emotionally and I wish that, like, I would have had, like, a parent to kind of, like, to confide my shit to. Like, if I, like, just would have had, like, a parental advice on how to get through, like, something emotionally, because, like, probably, like, they went through the same shit, like, in their, like, younger life, not saying, like, it was, like, necessarily high school, but, like, it could have been, like, later, like, after high school or, like, before high school.
I have to just say, when I do think about it, I would say that the line is drawn, but is drawn somewhere different for every parent instead of kids, because some kids don't have those parents that they can go to, and...
Well, I'm pretty sure we're just talking about the kids who have that parent to go to.
Well, I mean, I myself hope that my kids feel comfortable coming to me to tell me anything. And I know that me, myself, if they come to me and tell me that they're going to be going to a party or that they want to be smoking weed or trying a new drug, as long as I myself have done this drug, I just want to give them my knowledge and share with them my experience, not trying to put in their head what their experience should be like, but more or less to inform them of my experience and let them know that they can be open and honest with me and I will not judge them. I myself am not perfect. I don't expect them to be perfect. No matter what they do in life, I'm always going to love them, and I just want them to be able to come to me with anything. And so I think really on parenting, you just can't draw a line. As long as your kid is being taken care of and there's no abuse happening and you're being for them as much as possible, I think that that is probably the best you can do. Just give your heart, pretty much. But now going on to what you were saying about drinking and drugs, seeing as though that falls pretty much into the line of parenting.
Okay, so my mom, when, I don't want to lie on her, but 13, 14, she would let me drink wine coolers. Not let me get drunk, but she would let me drink one, maybe two, and that was it, you know? But that was introducing me into a culture of, you know, drink son, have a good time, but it's okay not to get belligerently drunk. You know? So with learning that... aspect of responsible drinking, when I got older, started going to parties, started drinking excessively, I would only drink to that certain aspect of, can I drive home? How am I gonna get home? Am I walking home? If I am walking home, can I walk home? You know what I'm saying? It's all about control, but a parent needs to be a parent and issue that control. Teach your children that difference of belligerently drunk and I'm having a good time.
See, like,
no, I'm good on that third or fourth drink. I'm good. I'm having a good time.
So, like, with my dad, like, my mom, I never really, like, saw her drunk because by the time she got home, like, I was, like, passed out. But, like, the few times I did see my dad drunk, it wasn't, like, a good drunk. Like, you feel me? Like, it was pretty much an angry drunk. So, whenever I went to parties, it wasn't really, like, a concern to me on if how I was going to get home. It was more of a concern of, I don't want to be my dad when I'm drunk. Like, I want to be that fun drunk that everybody, like, laughs at and, like, can bring, like, a good time to the party.
Most definitely.
Like,
kid you not, my mother used to be that angry drunk. She would get off the chain, and any time that she knew that, she would separate herself from us. And that is the one thing that I do thank my mother for, even though as we got older, she and, you know, we all towered over her, you know. So that dominant female that was once and always in her, and especially when she was drunk, it usually, sometimes showed itself. And whenever it did, you definitely did not want to be in the wake of that, for sure. But I think in most cases that with drinking and doing drugs, you need to know your own personality.
And your limit, definitely.
Definitely your limit,
too.
Not too long ago, we lost a young life. It's tragic for a parent to have to bury a child. It should never be that way. A child should always have to bury their parent because, you know, it's just been that way forever in a day. But whenever a parent has to bury a child, that is a tragic story.
Yeah, because when you think about life, like, technically, the parent is supposed to die before the child.
Of course.
And that's just because, like,
it's a horrible way to think about it, but
it's just, like, how, like, nature works. It's like the eldest
dies before the... You think you die of old age.
Like, youngest. Like, technically, like, you're always, like KBZ said, you're supposed to die of old age. But, like, with the way this generation is and how it's, like, formed, drinking and driving's okay. Texting and driving's okay. So, like, not paying attention when you're driving is okay. Going to parties and not really caring about, like, your well-being, just about how you're feeling in the moment, is more important than how you're going to get home, or if you got a sober driver. It's more of the fact of, I'm living me, and I'm having a good time. Like, I'm fucking lit, fam.
So,
like that bullshit.
I obviously was always a good kid.
Obviously.
But I can still remember vividly the first time I ever saw my mom drunk. I was, like, super little. And my mom is not a drinker, not a smoker. But at this moment that she was drunk, I don't actually recall much that happened, but as I got older and learned, I actually found out that night bad things happened to my mother, and my older sister was a witness to these things, which have kind of formed their relationship and made them super close because of that. And I also remember the second time I saw my mom get drunk, she actually got alcohol poisoning, and I remember a guy coming to beat my mom up over his daughter because my mom saw he was an unfit parent and was not letting him take his daughter after finding incredible bruises all over this little girl's body. And because my mom had been drinking too much and this had made her drink even more, she actually was taken away in an ambulance that night. And that was, like, my longest impression of alcohol and what it does. I, to this day, am not a huge drinker. And I just recently have started smoking and doing other things. And so I definitely think that, I mean, me myself, I was scared going into the world of smoking weed even. But now being an individual with my green card and knowing about the chemical balance that it causes to your body and what its actual effects, I think it's the greatest thing, and I'm more than happy that I have it in my life, and I feel completely stupid for all the times that I thought it was bad, because everybody talks about it in, like, a really dramatic way, almost, like, and they hype it up so much to almost make it seem scary for people who haven't done it before, but once you do it, then you're like, this doesn't need to have so much hype. If anything, this helps me and makes me feel good. So, I mean, weed and alcohol are very different. I mean, even acid and alcohol are very different. So, every single drug is different. It's going to have a different effect on you. And you have to take it in different doses and even decide if it's right for you, and that's something that you should be doing, because weed's not right for everyone. For some people, they smoke it and they realize that it makes them too anxious and they get too paranoid. It could be that they're smoking the wrong strain, but sometimes that's just the person, like, and
some people, like, prefer edibles over, like, actually smoking, because, like, the edibles, like, calm the anxiety effect less than actually, like, smoking the weed or, like, the wax that, like, you're, like, doing.
I feel like the line with weed is definitely based on the individual and what they need. I feel like alcohol is, the line should be drawn with why is the person drinking in the first place. If you're drinking because it's a social event and you're just laying back, having a good time, relaxing, that's totally fine. Make sure you have a DD, whatever the case may be. Be smart about it. Like, that's pretty much the line with alcohol. Don't drink it if you're drinking it to dull some pain that you have. You need to focus on that pain head on. Alcohol is not the answer to your problems. And acid, the line is drawn with don't be frying your brain out and doing it day after day after day. It's does chemically have bad effects. But, I mean, if you're doing it one or two times to try it or find yourself or whatever the case may be, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I definitely think that meth is a line where, when they say not even once, that is legitimately the line, and that's been revealed for years, and that should just be kept.
I will definitely have to agree with that. My family was destroyed over hardcore drugs, and when I say hardcore drugs, my father was a crack cocaine addict. That's what he knew, that's what he lived, and that's what he breathed constantly. And throughout my life, I could remember maybe five or six times And I'm 28 years old, y'all. And when I say through, even throughout my life, that's incorrect. Throughout the first 11 years of my life, I can remember maybe 5 or 6 times I actually wanted to be around my dad, and I loved to be around him. And that was when he was sober and he was acting like an actual human being, like a father. But when my dad was high and when he wanted his fix, he wasn't himself. He was not the father that I wanted around, nor the father that I needed around. And that was sadly most of my life. And I am a true testimony that marijuana is not a hardcore drug. I wish I was smoking it back in high school. I definitely would have been a lot better off. The fucks that I have for the world to say are barren in the fields of fuck that I have to give.
Yeah,
and yes, I stole that from a meme off Facebook, but whatever. It worked, damn it.
I think that's pretty much it for those. So, going into, well, another thing with that is, I mean, it's easy to get fucked up, and I feel like people, everybody should just remember, regardless as if you're going into something with someone, like, regardless as if you're going to this party with a friend and you guys are getting drunk together, or you're going by yourself and you just see someone there who is totally drunk, like, everyone should be willing to offer somebody a ride, and definitely watch out for, like, sexual assaults and stuff like that, because even if you're high on weed or acid or coke or beer, you're still altered in some kind of a way, and everybody should just be...
You're taking this way overboard. It can't be easy.
Where is your nappy nut?
Right there.
When is enough enough for drinking and drugs, like, individually, like...
I think that's all depending on the person. You as a person should get to know yourself. And
why you're doing it.
And while you're doing it. I think drinking alone, I don't think it's healthy, but it's definitely a good exercise to get to know how much your system, you as a person, you know how much your system can manage. Right. And I think that's what makes me, if there is a so-called thing as professional drinking, I don't know if that's a thing, but I think that's what makes me a professional drinker, because I definitely know when to call it. In the 28 years I've been living, I know my limit of when I can drive and when I can't drive. Now, there are those who have unfortunately been desecrated by a person who was drinking or under the influence. I'm sorry, but the person that caused that is not me. My name is my name, and I know me. Would I ever choose to put myself behind the wheel if I was belligerently drunk? No.
I think it's common sense. Like, when, if you can't walk and make it to the front door of that house on your own, or somebody comments on the way you are walking, you know you do not belong in your car.
Well, like, I feel like when it comes to drinking, like, if you're going to, like, drink every day and be, like, actually become an alcoholic, like, then it's enough. But if, like, you're just, like, drinking to, like, go out and have a good time and, like, be social, then, like, that's okay. But, like, when it comes to, like, drugs, I feel like people, like, socialize marijuana with being a gateway drug, and I feel like that is just a giant myth. It all comes with, like, the human. Because, yeah, I smoke weed on a daily. But, yeah, I want to experiment with other drugs, but it has nothing to do with me wanting to get another high. It just actually has to do with me researching these drugs and finding out what they do, and me personally wanting to experience that. Like, with acid, like, I have yet to done that, like, do acid, but I kind of want to do it just to, like, kind of find myself. And same with, like, peyote, like, I want to do peyote just to kind of go on a spirit quest, like, find the inner me. So, like, with drugs, I feel like if you're, like, just doing drugs to, like, get that high, then you really shouldn't do drugs. And that's where, like,
because it's never going to be enough.
Like, yeah, exactly. And that's where, like, it just, like, draws the line where, like, that's enough.
That is why people get in meth.
And I also believe that's where the law takes into perspective of what is a dangerous drug and what isn't a dangerous drug, even though they have marijuana on scale one, which is totally inaccurate.
Heroin and cocaine.
But I think that
That is definitely inaccurate. I will definitely say that I don't think, I know for a fact that I have no interest in other drugs because my younger life was
devastated.
Annihilated. Not devastated, dude. I don't think devastation is the word for it. Annihilated is definitely the word for it because I remember very vividly from the time that I developed these feelings, which was probably 6 or 7, more than likely 6. I wasn't, how can I say, ignorant child by the least. I wasn't. So, from the age of 6, till I was probably 13 or 14, I absolutely hated my life. Absolutely hated it. Absolutely. Every aspect of my life.
Right.
I hated it. Hated it. Absolutely hated it. But, and, you know, I did the things that I did, even though they were against the law.
Yeah.
But I don't think weed deserves to be on a scale one. It should be treated as tobacco. Because I treat weed at the exact same I treat tobacco. Like, I can't live like, well, I feel like yeah, it is more of a indefinitely now, because I have slowly weaned myself from cigarettes. I'm not totally off of cigarettes because I still do smoke cigarettes, but I've definitely made steps to be better, and I mean, I don't think weed has any more of an influence than tobacco does, me personally, but that's just me. But if you bring coke, heroin, or meth into the situation, I have been a part of a lot of situations in seeing people on those drugs, and they are not themselves, and it is not a good thing. So I think the law is definitely wasting their time locking up fucking potheads or even pot dealers compared to crack, cocaine, meth, heroin dealers or users.
Right.
And that's just me.
So, like, I feel like since we've covered that, we're like, enough is enough with drinking and drugs. You brought up a very good point with, like, the law. It's like, where is enough enough with the law?
With the law and...
Like, not like the federal government law, but like, just like law in general. Like, how cops depict people.
I definitely... Now, y'all can say whatever the fuck y'all want to say.
I just broke that.
Like, completely broke that.
Tell just broke his vape.
Well, I don't know what all I broke on this. Like, I think I don't know.
But anyways, like, with the law.
Did I break anything?
I guess he didn't.
Kidney for the win.
Oh, but it's all nasty now.
I bet.
Okay, so what was I saying before I dropped my mod? Right. Sorry.
Well, we're talking about the law. So I don't care what y'all say about the law.
Oh, okay, so when it comes to the law, I will have to say, and I don't give a damn what y'all say about me, but I'm a Black American, and definitely most, well, some of my people do not help the situation. I will say that. Because if... I mean... This is a really touchy subject. It's a really touchy subject, and like in some cases, my people do not help themselves. They tend to be that normal, stereotypical Black person that they see on TV. That shenanigans or
Marquise.
Or Marquise and Daquan getting into a fist fight down the street that turns into a